The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 2.5 hours, where he'll join us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us a Friday morning in which it is still dark outside. But it's supposed to be nice today, isn't it? It's supposed to get nicer, and we're going to have a nice weekend. Allegedly, yes. It's warming up.
Yeah.
Cold weather. You can't golf like 60, in cold weather.
Yeah, it'll be like
how are you supposed to drink beer outside in cold weather? That's a problem for me.
Well, I saw it happening. As a matter of fact, I'm still I'm noticing I have not had a great bounce back from playing poker for about 3.5 hours in 30-degree weather outside in Uncle Freddy's garage. That's one that I was like, yeah, it's cold, but I got a coat on and all that stuff. And then I realized, man, if I wear this coat, it's kind of bad luck with some of these hands. So I had to take the coat off and just go with this thin, like, pullover.
Yeah, because the jacket had a lot to do with how the cards were coming out.
All I know is I won.
Makes no sense at all.
I got to number four at the final table because I took that coat off and froze my ass off.
What did four get you?
$600.
$600?
Yeah.
Really?
Not bad.
Oh, that ain't bad. Then yeah, that's
$200 buy-in, $100 buy-in, $100 rebuy, $200. Not bad.
That's not bad.
I had to grind a little while for that, but get a cold apparently. But
yeah, I mean, as long as you're sick for the week, it doesn't matter.
Next, I got beat on. I had a Q10. He had a 9-3. Called me with 9-3. Called my stack just because he had the big stack and and it was a decent size, but it's like 41,000 is what my chips were, and you know,
and he beat you with 9-3.
I had him, yeah, I was over him with two cards, and he beat me. He knew he should have just gotten out of there and let me have his blind, but that was a chance for me to double up. I got unlucky, so whatever.
Yeah,
I was like, it was already 10 o'clock. All my family was there still. Mom.
Really?
Oh yeah,
they brought the whole family.
Oh yeah, we had been. Yeah, he's got a little. The kids are there. So we had. I'd been there for 8 hours, and there'd been shots taken by people in my family. Like, shots taken, like 1, 2, 3.
Not shooting at people.
No.
Okay.
I mean, Snacks. If he got his hand on some type of air pump BB gun.
Oh, he would have
definitely
shot
something. Yeah, right.
Maybe the guy with 9-3 to beat you.
Yeah. there were a lot of shots last night. A lot of shots, a lot of misses by the Houston Rockets. A lot of shots, a lot of makes by the Warriors. And I tell you what, it was three good quarters by the Rockets. I was really surprised how well they played.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon played his tail off. And so did Gerald. This Gerald Green thing doesn't even make sense
to me. I don't get it.
How do you go from sitting on a couch somewhere to dropping, you know,
well,
20
was,
points a game on
to
team.
Be fair, while he was sitting on the couch, he had to be getting some tats.
He looks like he's added a few.
Yeah. No.
He looks like he's added a few.
He had to be getting some tats because he doesn't have any more room.
When did he shoot threes like this, like over 60%? Not that he's going to forever shoot threes at the highest clip in NBA percentage and be known as the greatest shooter of all time, but that's where he is currently with the Rockets.
Right.
The greatest shooting percentage of all time as a Rocket. When did that? Is this always been a thing for him?
I have no idea.
How would Daryl even know that he could shoot threes? Like, what did you bring him into a gym and have him fire some jumpers up? Like, how do you know that he can shoot threes?
Somebody asked on Twitter, when James comes back, does that mean Gerald Green leaves? Are you crazy?
No.
Are you crazy?
And that might be one of James's guys. Like, Bobby Brown will never, ever go, ever. because Bobby Brown is James's best friend.
Well,
so you, if you're wondering why Bobby Brown's on the squad,
well, that's who I suggested. Bobby Brown is just sitting there doing nothing.
Let him wear street clothes.
Apparently, it'll probably be Onowaku, because that doesn't sound like a guy that James would go to a strip bar with, strip club. I don't think. I don't know. An Onowaku? No.
Nah, maybe not.
Bobby Brown? Yeah.
Yeah, Rockets guaranteed Gerald Green's contract. He's here to stay.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
and at least guess for
what?
A year.
Guess what? He's their best player. Why would you get rid of him?
I'm going to look at his three-point. Boy, you know how many teams he's played for? Good crime.
8 for 15, 9 of 16 overall. 8 for 15 from 3. You know, the Rockets didn't shoot poorly, 47%, 34 from 3.
He's had 15 threes in 2 games.
Yeah.
Gerald Green has 15 threes in 2 games.
Right.
He's the greatest shooter of all time.
And
do you understand what you're watching, Houston? This is an historic shooting performance by one of the great shooters of all time, Gerald Green, who has a Rocket logo braided up in his hair, braided up and shaved in his hair. You didn't see that coming.
No.
That's what that's the all-time greatest shooter. The guy who won a dunk contest in high school, 2 years later a dunk contest in the pros, is now the greatest shooter in NBA history.
And and Golden State, you know, without KD, you know, you say, well, it was without James. And again, it really hurt the price of the ticket. And I feel bad for my buddy who wasn't able to get his money for that deal. But so he had to go to the game instead. And took a picture of Kareem sitting next to him. Kareem looked like he was very disinterested on Twitter. But it was a good game. Were you not shocked that the Rockets had the lead after the first and the second? And oh, by the way, Rekeel is on mybookie.ag.
Oh, he went first.
He loves betting the first quarter. He loves betting the second quarter. And I have a feeling he got his ass handed to him in both of them.
First quarter, first half is what he played.
Yeah.
He liked it because it was one and a half, two and a half, something like that. Yeah. But Rockets, man, Eric Gordon was killing it. That's the thing. Eric Gordon is such an underrated scorer because he's not just a three-point shooter. And this has been – it's not just like this year. This has been going on for 3 years now. He is a really good finisher at the rim too. Right-handed, left-handed. He can make tough shots. You know, the Rockets don't shoot pull-ups except people who come in new to the team. They will still shoot some pull-ups. Like Chris Paul will do it.
Do you think Chris Paul's going to be around long if he keeps doing that?
Yeah, I don't think they know the rules. It's frees and threes. That's what you shoot. Frees and threes.
And I heard Bull yesterday, as a matter of fact, saying, well, that's where Golden State is really good. They're a really good defensive team. And what they're going to do is they're going to try to take away the rim and they're going to take away the three-point shot. So they're going to force the Rockets into mid-range shots, which is exactly what the Rockets don't want to do. And that's where it's going to be a problem. And Chris Paul doesn't mind a mid-range shot. And Chris Paul can overcome it by driving and dishing to someone. He can break down a defense. But what they will do is really, really well, Golden State will do, is defend the three-point line. And that's going to be a problem in the postseason, no matter what.
They just force you to drive. Now,
they have such good athletes, and they're even their second team, so athletic, mm-hmm. that it is going to be so difficult to beat them in any series.
Hey, Dell, does Nick Young look... Oh, Dell's not in there. He's probably getting an intern. Doesn't Nick Young...
You think he's sitting on an intern?
Does Swaggy... Oh, there he is.
Was Dell... You were hit, apparently...
No, I thought he was letting an intern in.
He was...
No,
oh,
I was trying to find a way
into
to
what? Into
out.
His life?
No, just into the building.
Oh,
he has to do that. So I hate when people don't. Like, that's got to be annoying for him where interns don't have cards and he has to go down and get them. Ugh. That's the worst.
Or hosts.
No, I'm good.
Or currently barefoot hosts.
No, I've got my socks on.
Why you walk around with no shoes on?
I don't know. These new boosts are a little tight. I may take them back.
Oh.
They're a little narrow.
Look, we taking boosts back now? You feeling that good about yourself? You're taking boosts back?
Mm-hmm. They're a little narrow. I'm gonna get a little different size. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, they make them wider? Are you sure?
If they don't, I'll just go to the Pure Boost.
So you know what's always good after Lance wears a pair of shoes since Christmas that he's going to take them back?
I just got them yesterday, and I'm like, man, I put them on this morning. I'm like, what are these? Like, for somebody with a freaking slew foot?
What, did you go Muslim Christmas shopping like Raheel does?
No.
That's,
well,
right after Christmas, that's when Raheel goes shopping because all the prices are down.
I did get a 30% discount on boots. I will tell you that.
So that's
maybe,
right.
Maybe I did.
Who's
I don't
buying
know.
Boots now except you?
I don't know. It's online. I don't
you
know.
You and Raheel.
I got my Adidas Busso. But so did Swaggy P, does he look a little bigger to you? Like, he doesn't look as skinny to me now as a Warrior.
Are you talking he put on some bulk or he put on some mat, just some weight?
I can't tell. But
fat?
I don't, you know, he didn't look ripped up. I mean, he didn't look cut. He just looked thicker to me, just bigger. Maybe it's because they got a bunch of skinny guys on the Warriors.
Got a bunch of lean dudes on the Warriors.
They got some lean dudes, but I don't know. He just looks.
Man,
he just
and they
looks,
didn't even have KD. Man, look at the, it's just, look at the, their bench is just, it's stupid.
Well, they go get athletes, but it's, you know, it's interesting because Looney and Pachulia, and they've had, that is interesting you say that about, or what Matt Buller talked about defending the rim, because over the last few years, they have just gone out and tried to find just guys who are kind of athletic, who can just dunk when the ball's to them. Zaza Pachulia,
well, Bell, the addition of Bell, even though he didn't do much last night.
No, yeah, but Pachulia's not athletic. He's just kind of he looks like an oaf now, frankly, a lot of times, but he's big and he can challenge you at the rim and he can kind of crowd up on you around the on the high screen and roll stuff, can kind of crowd up on the screener like he did to Trevor Ariza at one point, which really pissed off Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza ended up elbowing him, pushing him down, and, you know, penalty went, I mean, foul and went the other way. But the one disappointing thing to me is it turned into bad shot selection again. Like, just because you have the philosophy of shooting threes, which is fine, a lot of people have adopted that, it doesn't mean you have to take really bad three looks.
Well, what really gets me is when, and they do this so often, is James gets to the rim and it looks like he's got a wide open layup and he kicks.
Yeah.
I mean, that is that something that they have? Is this a force? Does Daryl Morey, like, if they don't, does Daryl Morey tie him up?
I don't feel like James is told to do anything
after the game or something.
Do you get the feeling James listens to anyone telling him to do anything?
No, but I mean, good Lord.
James does James.
Yeah, I get it. But part of it is their philosophy is no, take the layup.
Yeah, but he gets a lot of layups and a lot of free throws. It's not like he's devoid of.
No. He does. No, there's no question. But it's some of his decision making. But it's James. It's James being James, doing James things.
Well, they are on pace to set the all-time record for three-pointers by a wide margin now, over like by about 14% currently or 12% currently where they sit.
You mean beat last year's record? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Rockets would have three of the five. Golden State would have one. Cleveland would have one. And the Rockets are on pace to make over 15 threes a game right now. And with Gerald Green, that number should go to about 40 threes a game because all he does is make threes.
It's all he does.
He's only shooting 56% from three-point line. He's only made 15 in two games. Don't worry about me. I'll just be over here Ray Allen-ing if you guys need anything.
Hey, Gerald, we're going to bring you in. And really, you're new, but the philosophy is dunks, layups, and threes. He goes, what? You know, that's what I'm all about.
That's my jam.
That's what I am
that's
all about.
That's my jam.
You telling me all I got to do is shoot threes and dunk the basketball?
You know what? Gerald Green, he actually is a pretty decent three-point shooter in his career. I mean, relative to NBA terms. In 2013, 2014, that dude shot, is this true? That he shot 500 threes? How is that possible?
He shot 500 threes?
That can't be.
I hope he does that here. I hope he does game here.
Am I looking at team?
Because he'll make 280 of them.
My goodness.
If he shoots 500, he'll make 280 of them. I'm all for it.
I mean, I'm making sure this number is right. But he had 6.2. Yeah. He averaged 6.2 three-point attempts per game in Phoenix in 2013, 2014.
And?
Which is more than twos. Well, he made 40%.
Yeah. And?
So he does have some three-point shooting in his background.
How was he sitting on a couch? How does this happen?
Because he's Gerald Green.
Well, what does that mean?
He's well-traveled and
but he's just like...
Yeah. Now, his field goal percentages, not that great. 409, 392, 416, 445, 366. This is in the last 5 years.
He got cut by the Bucks. We were talking about it yesterday on the Raheel and Dell show. He got cut by the Bucks. This season, and has been sitting on his couch ever since. He played for the Celtics late last year as well.
But he didn't even play for the Bucks. Like, he's not even listed.
He never
on the
played
Bucks.
For the Bucks. He was cut in the preseason.
I forgot they played.
Did they guarantee his deal too?
I don't know.
The Rockets did.
Do you know that he played one game for the Houston Rockets in 2007, 2008? I don't remember that at all. They must have traded and then flipped another trade.
One game?
Yeah, he Boston, Minnesota, Houston, Dallas, New Jersey, Indianapolis, or Indiana, Phoenix, Miami, Boston, Houston. That's Gerald Green.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember his one game. 4 minutes. How could you possibly forget? And let's be honest here.
That was 2007-8.
Daryl's a roster flipper. Yeah, right. They've probably been through 270 players.
That's even fast for Daryl, though. 4 minutes. Yeah. Beat it.
No. If you're not a second-round pick, how did he? Yeah, yeah. Usually that's second-round picks to get that. Like Nick Johnson. Remember Nick Johnson from Arizona? Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think you did. No. Second-rounder.
To 713, 714. IG, you'll get in. 713-780-3776. Come on in.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 718.
Real quick, my brother just texted. He's listening to the show.
Oh, he's not busy tweeting at the other radio hosts?
No.
Okay.
He said, Gerald Green was traded for Kirk Snyder and then waived 2 weeks later. So that one game he played just meant Gerald Green was on the bench. He just wasn't. It wasn't like, hey, guys, it's me, Gerald Green. Kirk Snyder, truth be told, was one of the scariest people to ever play for the Rockets.
Yes.
And that comes from the Rockets.
The city was more dangerous at that
Rockets
point.
The Rockets are like, whew, we do not like when Kirk Snyder's rolling around. Kirk had some things going on.
Yeah, he did.
I'll just leave it at that.
I hope he's not here listening.
I think Kirk did some time.
That was a dangerous time in this city.
Kirk came back to the team, like came back into the building. He wasn't a Rocket. He like came in, everyone saw him coming, like, it's like, Omar's coming. Just like the wire, everyone scattered. Kirk's coming.
It's a scary.
Go to the panic room.
Let's get G in here. He wants to talk about Gerald Green. What do you say, G?
Hey, I was going to tell you guys that, part of every situation is shit or whatever. I just feel like he, growing up in Houston, I'm a Houston native. He actually was kind of known as like T-Mac White. And when he was here, and in high school, they compared him to him. He was real athletic, had that high release on his jump shot.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever had, of course, had the IQ of T-Mac, but I feel like he didn't ever have the opportunity to showcase his skills. And then, you know, typically when people play for Mike D'Antoni, if they have any inclination of being able to shoot, like, for example, remember Sean Marion was there? He actually was a respectable corner three-point
shooter.
Yeah,
that's right.
I just feel like his skill set just fits with the Rockets, his athleticism, up and down. It's going to be crazy once he gets his legs under him. Now, you know, D'Antoni typically plays a short rotation of, like especially in the playoffs, 7 to 8 men, but he has the capability now. They can play 10 deep. I don't know what he'll do in the playoff start. If he'll pick spots for Gerald Green to come in, maybe with Luke or P.J. Tucker aren't shooting the ball well from the corners, but they actually have a capability of playing 10 deep. I'll hang up and listen to this guy.
So where do you put
D'Antoni really limits his bench, though, in the postseason.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah. He just said, that's what G said.
I don't, are you sure they're going 10 deep?
Man. Well, here's the thing.
Well, is he going to continue to shoot like this is a question.
Well, no. Who knows? Maybe he is going to be the greatest.
Well, if he does, then guess what? He's starting.
Well, if he does,
then
James can't play.
Then guess what? He's playing 34 minutes like he did last night.
Okay, so Chris Paul and James and Eric Gordon and Ariza. I'm just going 1, 2, 3.
Ariza's
Trevor Ariza. There's four. Ariza's not sitting. So I guess I guess he would flip-flop between the two. Wait. I'm sorry. Paul Harden. Gordon, Ariza. Yeah, I said that. So there's four. So
Capella?
I guess.
Are you talking about the rotation?
Well, yeah, no. I'm saying those positions.
Oh.
Ariza's going to play high minutes. James is going to play high minutes. And Paul's going to. And well, Eric Gordon's your score. Like, where does he play, Gerald Green?
Are you kidding? There's plenty of minutes. Ryan Anderson isn't going to play if he continues to.
But who plays the four? Like, Gerald Green's not playing a four. And Ariza's probably not unless they play.
Why do you got to play the four? You just stand out inside and shoot, and you hope that they miss baskets on the other side.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you do have to guard somebody on the other side.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
It's preferable.
Well,
if you want to get by the first round.
It's not what we do.
I mean, they're not going to – look, Nene's going to play.
It's called going small, Lance.
They're already small.
I know.
Ryan Anderson's not exactly a big four.
I know. He's small, but he's slow.
I just think that Gerald Green's minutes – I don't know where Gerald Green's minutes come from when everyone's healthy. Like, you got some straggler 3 minutes and maybe some straggler 2 minutes when James is on the bench and Gordon's on the bench. Maybe him and Chris Paul play together. I don't know. Maybe here's why he's important. Because Chris Paul's health, well, you saw what happened yesterday. When Chris Paul hit the bench, the game ended. Remember that? In the third, going to the fourth? When Chris Paul left at the end of the third, the game
but
ended.
But again, that's what – when James is healthy, it's different because one of them is going to be on the floor. When none of them are on the floor, that's a real problem.
But Chris is getting older and there's more potential for injury. Eric Gordon has a history of having some injury issues. That's probably why Gerald Green is actually a pretty smart ad, because if you have one of those two guys – get hurt, at least you have another score.
Yeah.
And his ability to shoot the three and finish around the rim, that is a pretty big deal. That is a really big deal. So it's good to, it's because PJ Tucker's Chuck Hayes with a corner three. That's what he is. He's limited. So having a better athlete out there doesn't hurt anything.
I'm not. Are you worried about the plenty of minutes? I think, obviously you're not going to, Nene, he will be cut and he won't get any minutes. You'll go small most of the time. I think you'll be, I'm not worried about Gerald Green getting on the floor. If Gerald Green continues to play like this, that's a question.
Well, here's the thing. Nene has good value when he is not playing a back-to-back. He's tough, he's physical, but that was really, he was kind of made for Oklahoma City last year, the real physical Enes Kanter and stuff like that. And then, Tarik Black can do some rim protecting stuff. Like, I feel like they have a bunch of different pieces, but from one series to the next could change who the eighth or ninth person in that rotation.
Well, let's not forget, though, when Capella went down last year in the postseason, Ryan Anderson was their center. He's prone to go small.
Yeah, but that's not going to win anything.
No. Well,
you still got to try to build a team that can win.
But that's the way he went.
Well, because I don't think they had anything else. They didn't have Tarik Black. And
no.
Nene was out, so they didn't have anything.
They had Montrezl.
Yeah, he was a 6'8".
Well, yeah, I know, but at least he can grab some rebounds and at least,
But they're in better shape this year.
Post up defensively.
The point is they're in better shape to match up with a variety of different teams with what's on their bench. It's their deepest bench.
Yes.
It is.
But I would not be surprised at all if they don't go small and eschew Tarik Black and Nene in the postseason.
I mean, you can't afford to give up any second shots. You gotta.
They're gonna do what they do. Well, you just made a basket. Now we got to go make a three. You want to get Trucker in here, Trucker Mike? What's going on, Trucker Mike?
Hey guys, love the show, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Bro. Hey, I just want to be selfish real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I used to call the show all the time, and then I went up to Canada in October after the Astros won the World Series. I just made it back to the States. Hadn't gotten to listen to the show at all. It was my first day listening to the show. And I heard some dude named Lance on there. Is this my buddy Lance? Is that this Lance?
Yeah, that's Lance. This is his buddy.
My buddy Lance.
This is the buddy Lance. Okay. All right, man. Well, look, hey, y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. I'm glad to be back home in the States. I'm glad to be able to listen to the show again.
Watch this. Hold on, Mike. We're going to rewind the show all the way to early November. Would you like to comment on the Astros? We'll take the show all the way back to November for you so you can talk about the Astros win since you were in Canada.
Hey, man. The Astros, they did a thing. It was the greatest World Series. I'm not even really a baseball fan. I mean, my dad loves baseball, so I took him to a game, Father's Day and stuff like that, man. But the Astros won the World Series. I have my towels. I got my stickers all over the truck. My H-Town championship hat and everything else. Got my wife some championship gear. So it's cold up here. I'm rocking all this Houston Astros stuff, man. I'm so proud of the boys. And I'll just go ahead and ask the Astros question. Is Dallas Keuchel here for the long run, or is he going to go? We don't have enough money to pay all those guys.
My bet is he's gone.
Yeah, especially if Whitley does a good job, if he comes up and looks like the real deal, then he'll be the new Keuchel, probably.
You hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, I mean, you got Verlander, but I'm just saying Verlander has he has an expiration date.
Yeah.
More than likely.
And, you know, I don't know, because they're young. Martez, Paulino.
We keep hearing these names like, they've got some good young arms. Like, well, we've seen them, though. It's not like they've never pitched.
Yeah, but I know, but let's not forget Martez. That was the first time he's pitched in the big league. So
he's a big dude.
He's a big dude. Throws hard. I mean, I don't know why. If he can, get some control, if they can teach him some control, how about that dude closing?
They really need one of those guys becoming a starter.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be.
Well, I
thought
don't know.
Feliz. Remember when Feliz looked like he might be a closer a couple of years ago?
Right,
he was killing it. Now it's like he doesn't even exist.
Well, yeah, they couldn't even put him in the postseason roster because they all got to learn to just throw strikes, and Paulino's got to learn to stop doing peds. And that would be nice. He's going to come back like 140 pounds, though, so I don't know if he's going to be an option.
I almost don't even count.
No, not a guy that's been 50 games, lost 50 games.
I'm like, yeah, he probably wasn't great before he got on this stuff. So.
Nah, he got paid. That's what I would do, too. Just get paid, and then, oh, well, I can't pitch anymore. I can't hump it up for higher than 83. But, I think they're in a great spot. And there's still talk about adding, hey, they could still add a starter. That would be unbelievable if they got a name. We'll see. But in Luno, we trust. It's like look at what Daryl Morey found in Gerald Green. I don't even think Daryl Morey thought Gerald Green could do what he's doing right now. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So
expect Gerald Green to get traded, right? Because ain't no loyalty here.
Oh, no. Well, eventually.
You imagine Gerald Green to be traded right now.
Right now, you trade Gerald Green for LeBron.
I mean, Daryl Morey. Okay. All Daryl Morey is hoping is that Gerald Green continues to do what he's doing. So some dopey team needs an outside shooter for the playoffs, and he just.
That's right. You know what you trade him for?
I'm trying to make the I want the Rockets to be good.
Well,
I don't have a Gerald Green hat on. I have a Rockets hat on.
Well, but
right
now the way he's playing,
theoretically,
who would you trade him for? Steph. LeBron?
I would not give him up for Steph now. Steph doesn't shoot like this.
Not 56% he doesn't.
No. I would probably trade him for LeBron right now. I wouldn't trade him for Steph. He's too injury prone. Gerald Green, I'd trade him
KD?
For Greek Freak.
Greek Freak?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Greek, speaking of Greek Freak, let's talk about that on the other side.
Yeah.
There is some
LeBron is not going to be happy with this.
There's a storm brewing. 7:30 ESPN, 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Well, it's a good story, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. This Tom Brady, this piece by Seth Wickersham. Big piece on ESPN today about what's going on with the Patriots. And it is interesting. It's coming out right now before the playoffs start. It seems like there is a lot of this is a Texan story. This isn't it? What did you call it, Del? The Patriots are doing it the Texans way here?
We're just like if you're a Texans fan, you got to think to yourself after reading that story. We're just like these guys.
This look,
except for all the championships
and the wins
and the egos being built by championships, but all the other stuff, we're just like them.
Yeah,
infighting. Power struggles, random nonsense going on. We're just like these guys.
And this is so unpatriot-like, isn't it? Where stuff is out. Seth Wickersham apparently, is talking to a bunch of people in the organization and getting a lot of insight, a lot of inside information. One thing that I was always puzzled with and still, and I guess this answers it, is you draft Jimmy Garoppolo with a second-round pick. You can turn that into a one easily. Why did he give it up for a two? Why did he give up a guy that was as coveted as Garoppolo, looked as good as Garoppolo did, for a second-round pick? That I never got. You could have easily gotten a one for Garoppolo.
Yeah, Belichick, the personnel man, is really not that great.
Are you sure that it was that, or it wasn't a little spiteful saying, "Well, all right, you don't want Garoppolo here anymore? Watch this. I'll give him up for a second rounder."
Yeah, but I mean, because Bill's trying to still win. Like, Bill wants to win. A first rounder helps him win, and it just didn't make any sense. I don't think he plays cards very well, because you could have dealt him. Look, they don't want to deal him to the Texans. The Texans love Jimmy Garoppolo. They don't want to deal him to the Texans. I get it. They didn't want to deal him to the Browns.
Do they love Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, Bill O'Brien loved Jimmy Garoppolo. Are you sure Rick Smith did?
I don't know.
Because the rumor was that Bill O'Brien wanted Garoppolo.
Yeah, he did.
And, well, he wasn't on Rick's list.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I know somebody moved up ahead of the Texans, where I think the Texans would have drafted him in the third, but he got moved up on. The Patriots moved ahead of him because they knew that that's a Bill O'Brien type of quarterback. And so they moved up and they got him. Same way the Minnesota Vikings moved up ahead and got Teddy Bridgewater. Which I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater would have been a Texan. I don't know. I just know that two teams moved ahead of the Texans for two quarterbacks. I know that. I know that for a fact. Obviously, all of us do, because it happened. But you could have gotten a first for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
You absolutely could have gotten a first, and from the Browns more than likely. Why do you not do that? Are you really worried the Browns, that Jimmy's going to come back and get you with the Browns? I mean, just go get the best you can get. Bill Belichick he's just too busy being geniusy. He's a great coach, but this is really a very interesting article.
Because
if you really think about it, what the article is that Kraft and Brady, it shows some of the issues between Kraft and Brady and Bill Belichick, and who's responsible for that, and they disagree. We started to see cracks with earlier this year with issues with Alex Guerrero, the strength coach and guru, whatever, of Tom Brady, and the Patriots don't want him on the sideline anymore. We've seen Tom Brady yell at Bill O'Brien. Didn't really surprise us. Everyone was all excited about hiring Bill O'Brien because he yelled at Tom Brady and he won't take any crap off anybody. We saw Bill, they mentioned it early in the article where there's a viral video out where Tom Brady is yelling F you at his offense coordinator, Josh McDaniels. Tom Brady didn't care who you are. Tom Brady is at such an elevated point now where it's probably not super easy to coach him all the time because he's just so great. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, again, they explain, that Tom Brady's yelling at him, but it wasn't about that. It was about he's pissed off because his trainer had been kicked out. His trainer doesn't have the same access that he used to. That Jimmy Garoppolo is still here. That Jimmy Garoppolo is sitting there and, wait a minute, he's a threat to Tom Brady. So all of that kind of exploded. Right.
Yeah.
Then they get rid of Garoppolo. The point being on this Jimmy Garoppolo, the drafted thing, Garoppolo was drafted 62nd. The Texans could have taken him in the second round.
Yeah.
The Texans could have taken him instead of right after Teddy Bridgewater was taken. They could have taken Garoppolo. Instead of Suofilo. That's what Bill O'Brien wanted to do. That's what I heard, and they could have done that.
They may not have thought that was the value on him. That's what you got to be careful about getting too cute with picks. I remember Rudy T said that one time. I remember asking, and ironically, it was with Roderick Rhodes, who didn't end up being a player. But why do you draft him in the first and everyone thought he's in second? Because if you like a guy, you go get him and you don't worry about his draft pick.
I don't give a crap.
And this is actually true. Like I was talking to a team about Quentin Nelson, who's a guard at Notre Dame. I said, guards typically aren't drafted inside the top 5, 6, 7, 8 picks. And the comment was, if a guy's a great player, you're not even going to worry about where he was drafted. Once you get him into camp, draft slots don't mean anything. Where you got drafted, you're now a football player, and you're now a Bengal, or you're a Bronco, or you're a Texan, or you're a Colt, or you're a, or you're a Packer. Whenever you're drafted, people care about where you were drafted on draft day, and in post-draft write-ups and grades and report cards, where you give grades for guys who haven't even taken tests yet, which is the dumbest thing ever. But once you get into camp, now you're just a player. Now you're just a player, and where you got drafted doesn't mean as much. And if you're a great player, you're a great player. So you don't really this worrying about where a guy gets drafted is kind of dumb.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you like a guy, screw it. Get him. And Garoppolo, if you liked him right after Teddy Bridgewater, you should have got him. But apparently Bill O'Brien did like him, but Rick Smith didn't, which is why Rick Smith is no longer with us.
He's here.
No, he's
gone for a while, but
is he?
It's a Lance? Comma. Hold on. Did you not remember? It's a comma, not a period.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about all that comma stuff, if you want to know the
truth. It's a comma, not a period.
You think Jamie's going to want that dude in the building?
I don't know what his job's going to be.
It ain't going to be picking football players because they're getting a new GM.
And let me tell you who's not going to want him in the building talking to the owner.
Is that not eye-opening?
Bill O'Brien and whoever the new GM is.
Is that not eye-opening, though? It's a day after Rick says this is a comma and I'm going to I don't know what they're going to do about a GM. Yeah, we got a search committee. We're going to find us a GM. Here's who's looking for the GM right now. Is that not eye-opening just a little bit?
So here's the thing, though. If there was friction, and there was, between Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith.
Apparently now there wasn't. Okay.
You're not going to want that guy who you think may undercut you in the building.
In the building.
You're not going to want that if you're Bill O'Brien or whoever the new GM is.
Today is What Are the Odds Friday, right?
That's not a thing, actually.
It's not.
Is that it?
What are the odds Friday? I would say the odds are 90% that Rick Smith never works in that building again. 90 to 10.
That's high. I mean, he's under contract till 20.
That's right. And they'll just keep on paying him. And you know what?
I don't see Bill O'Brien hooking up with another team right away for sure. I don't think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he would. I don't know. I mean, he can hang his hat on a lot of first round picks that have done pretty well. So I don't know. He might get another GM job.
Maybe.
A lot of times you don't get second GM jobs unless you had a lot of success and you could say, I won 4 division titles. And if they start saying, I'm going to go through Pro Football Reference and see how good y'all were. No. Division titles.
Wait a minute.
Don't worry about the Bill O'Brien 9-7 division titles. They counted.
Won the AFC South 2 years in a row.
All right. You're damn right we did.
That's proof.
So that was our LeBron segment. We'll be back with another one right after this.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 747 ESPN 97.5. Alex has been waiting to talk on the radio. What do you say, Alex?
Hey, I wanted to ask Lance to elaborate on a point he made in passing yesterday, because I know he has a lot of contacts. I'm curious, when you said that you effectively thought the Browns were trying to lose as much as they can over the last couple of years, how do you think that there is a conscientious decision made with I'm sitting around a boardroom where personnel say, you know what, let's just tank. I mean,
it happens in the NBA.
Well, it happened in baseball, right, too.
It happened in baseball. Let me tell you what I said. I said it almost looks like they're following the Philadelphia 76er mode, which was driven by Sam Hinkie, an analytics guy. Because analytics guys, and Paul DePodesta's over there, Sashi.
Jeff Luno.
They believe, and they're unabashed in this.
And now Derek Jeter.
They'll tell you that, well, that's also about being profitable, too. But they'll tell you right now, the best way to get really good is to have the best players. The only way to get the best players is to have the best drafts. It's a proven fact that the best drafts come from having the highest picks. And so it almost seems like the Browns, like, it's really hard to win one game in 2 years. It's hard not to stumble into 4 wins in 2 years. Now, how does that happen? If the Browns ever made the decision that we're not going to do everything we can to try to win 5 games, we're not going to do that, then what you do is you play younger players. You go less expensive at certain positions. You don't sacrifice. you don't necessarily try to lose, but you don't necessarily do everything you can to scratch out four or five wins and get the fourth pick of the draft instead of the first. That's what I'm saying.
Do you think that's a good point. Do you think there's any concern among the professional? If I'm a commissioner of MLB, I probably would root against the Astros winning this year because they vindicated. I mean, they just and I'm glad they did it. It was brilliant. But tanking the way they tanked for 3-4 years and then winning a championship, it kind of just makes, to me, a mockery of the entire system of, hey, try to win as much as you can every year.
But wait.
And see, I got to think that the commissioners wouldn't like that.
No, but that's not fair to say the Astros just tanked. Who did the Astros have in a minor league system? See, this is the difference. The Astros had nobody in the minor leagues. Who did they have?
They had a guy hitting 51 homers that they wouldn't bring up.
Who?
Springer, which is why he's pissed off.
Yeah, but they brought it. But that wasn't to tank. That was so that they could have control over his contract a little longer.
Well, I know, but you had a major league player that you wouldn't bring up they didn't want to win.
But that was really more about controlling him longer.
Right,
absolutely. Having control over him longer. They weren't able to win. They didn't have a roster. No, they didn't have minor leagues that can win. No. It wasn't like they were saying, ooh, we got a chance to win. We better not do it. They were terrible because they were mismanaged. Drayton mismanaged.
Yeah, no. They had to rebuild everything.
They were the least talented minor league system in baseball.
But what's the difference between holding back George Springer from playing as opposed to what the Browns do or what you suggested they're doing as not trying everything possible to scratch out four or five wins?
Here's the difference. You want to try to hang on to his contract, your control over his contract for as long as possible based on when Carlos Correa gets older. And really, frankly, at that point, they didn't know what they had in Keuchel. They didn't know what they were going to have in Alex Bregman. It was really a decision about, we know Carlos Correa, who's rookie year. It was just about, we don't want to bring him up in mid-year and have him get to arbitration earlier. That's all it was. I've talked to Jeff Leno about this.
Right.
It was purely a financial decision where you don't, and it paid off because now Bregman came up, and so now you get to keep your core longer without having to pay.
Well, but the point of it is not bringing him up. You didn't bring him up because you couldn't win at that point, so it made no sense to bring a guy start his options.
You don't
want to start his options.
Yes, yes.
So, but it doesn't help. But you still are making a conscious decision to not bring your best player up.
But not because you thought he was going to help you. What, would he win two games?
Yeah, no,
you're
100
loss team.
But when you're trying to win, you try to bring your best players up. They weren't trying to win at that time. They didn't want to win at that time.
No, they're not trying to win, and they wouldn't have won anyway.
No,
it would have been irrelevant
because
that decision was made to control his salary for longer.
Right.
It wasn't about, ooh, this could cause us to win too much. That was never going to happen.
But the Browns playing a veteran or two more instead of a younger player. The Browns weren't going to win anything anyway, but they were reducing their chances of winning by playing younger players, right? Well, we know the Browns aren't winning.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm not in favor of. See, baseball can tank, but baseball teams can tank for. A lot of times, it's for financial purposes too. Jeter has going on. That's about being profitable. There's already talk that they're going to be profitable next year by $17 million. They're going to make next year. He's already putting them in profit mode. And yes, you slice off salary. The Astros had no talent. They were devoid of minor league talent. They drafted poorly. They couldn't sign draft picks.
Well,
Giovanni Meyer, a slappy shortstop as your first round pick. Who does that in history of baseball? Well, the dumbest thing ever.
However, you say that they're going to be profitable and they're doing it for a profit. The reason that they're going to be profitable is they're getting rid of their best players.
Yeah.
They are tanking.
No, they had talent.
They are going to be profitable, and they're also tanking for the future.
They had Stanton. The Astros had no Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
By the time Lance Berkman was dealt, he was not at his same level. They didn't have everything; just went in a tank because they were poorly run and poorly managed. That's different. There are other teams, like you said, who just we're just going to get rid of these guys and try to rebuild with young, inexpensive players so we can win for longer, like the Astros did.
Well, and the Phillies a little bit different too, is that in that they were able to tank and they had good players, and unfortunately they were hurt. Joel Embiid didn't play for 17 years.
But I think basketball is different because basketball is the one where you legit. See, I don't think you can. In baseball, you have to have good young players who are inexpensive for a while. In football, you can win without tanking. I don't buy. You know what Cleveland has in essence done? And I'm not sitting here telling you they tanked on purpose.
No, they didn't because they thought they thought DeShone Kizer was going to have a possibility of being a good quarterback.
But they weren't out there spending big money on big-time free agents either. But I just think they were – I think they've been poorly run. There is a high percentage there's just – it is a factory of sadness over there is what it is. And they're just losers.
Right.
The entire organization is a losing organization. I was there for their greatest run when they were with – when they had Kelly – Holcomb throwing 400 yards in the snow against the Steelers. My dad was coaching that Browns team. That was a Browns team that got to the playoffs. Other than that, they've done nothing, and they've just been poorly run. It's not even to where it's on purpose. They are like the Astros, but I do think when you look at how many picks they're adding, how many picks, that is, and Daryl Morey talked about there was an article or there was a paper that was done at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. And what it said, and it studied all the NFL GMs, and what this paper showed was it's not where you pick that dictates success, and it's not even which team's picking. It's how many picks you have. It's volume of picks. It's the old throw enough of them against the wall, and you're going to have a higher number that stick if you have volume picks.
Right.
And so I think that's probably what they're doing if you're looking at how many picks they have. They have like five picks, right, Dale? Five picks in the first – three rounds, maybe six.
I talked to Zoe right after he got the job. Alonzo, he goes, dude, we got 60 picks. It's going to be awesome. And you know what? Some of it's going to stick. Hey, when we come back, Kristaps Porzingis is really tired. Apparently, there was an article here in a back-to-back situation. We're going to talk to him. We're going to get Kristaps Porzingis in here.
That's a good get.
He's going to call. He's going to call the show if he's not. We're going to have to wake him up, apparently, because he's exhausted.
Please don't tell me they come off a back-to-back, because he's not going to answer.
I don't know if he'll answer that, but we'll see if we can't get Kristaps Porzingis next.
When he comes off the back-to-back, it's just too much.
It's tired. He's tired. He's exhausted.
He's played for years in the league, or is this year three? He hadn't played for years. It just feels like it, I guess.
Well, he's tired. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go through a back. You don't have to play two nights in a row, do you? No. Kristaps does. And so he's going to be – we'll see if we can't wake him up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about Bill Advisors. If you go to BillAdvisors.com, you can find out all the different bills that they can navigate and negotiate for you. But this is what's great about them. Here's how it works. I'll tell you exactly how it works. You text bills to 313131. They get back with you, and you can handle this through text message or phone. You don't even have to have a phone call conversation other than one or two, and here's what it is. They will call you. You answer, hi, this is Gary from Bill Advisor. I've got Anna on the line from AT&T. Hi, Gary, or hi, whatever your name is. How you doing? Do you give Bill Advisor permission or Gary permission to negotiate your bill for you? Yes, I do. Click, hang up, do whatever you're doing. And you're done. And they'll start negotiating the rates. They will lower your bills. I'm telling you right now. They'll get you bill credits a lot of times. When we had the hurricane, Bill Advisor went in and got bills completely wiped out from me. Just because they said, look, everyone in the Houston area should have this opportunity, whether you are affected or not. They're always looking to help you and to save you money. And it costs you one low monthly fee. The average listener is going to save $800+ per year annually. And I saved over $2,000 on the multiple bills that they negotiated for me. Let Bill Advisor go to work for you. Go to BillAdvisor.com or text bills to 313131, and I promise you it will be one of the smartest moves you've ever made. Just a little baby girl is in need. Am I coming out of left
field? Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks. I've been feeling it since 1966. ESPN 97.5.